Hello, welcome back to Hard Factor Nigeria in Food Heading Board Hacker Time Dial. It's 10 minutes gone past 4 p.m. Conversation continues. Thanks for staying tuned. And we're discussing whether or not it's possible to have a proper waste management solution in Rivers State. Is it possible? Is it within the realm of the possible? Quite recently, there's been a lot of clamour from Rivers residents, especially Port Harcourt and its environs, understandably so, that the Rivers State Governor return and attend to matters affecting waste management in Rivers State. The situation has assumed something of a crisis, level, really, in the state. And there's been, once again, plenty of talk and hope that the governor will pay some attention to that. And I think we had something of that on the news earlier. Residents of Rivers State are calling on Governor Yusuf Nwike to focus on fixing critical issues in the state that need urgent attention when he appoints a new cabinet. And those who spoke to our correspondent at issues of indiscriminate waste disposal, task force, human capital development, pensioners and civil servants welfare should be addressed. Well, in what appears to be a response to this yearning, this also made the news. Governor Yusuf Nwike has set up a 5-man task force on sanitation to oversee the clearing of refuse in Port Harcourt and its environs. Special assistant and media to the governor, in a statement, listed Isoboye Jack as chairman of the task force. Other members are Josiah Olun, Victor Ehunwon, Prince Wally Wosu, and the Princess Ibiene Ogun. The state said the appointment takes effect immediately. And I guess they were to be at the governor's office by 3 p.m. today. Possibly that's happened already. Is this task force going to be the panacea, the ultimate solution, the green kryptonite, if you will, to solving the waste crisis? Well, it is green kryptonite, right? Not red. To solving the waste crisis in Rivers State, I don't know. But are there true time-tested and trusted solutions, international standards, internationally acceptable methods that can be replicated to solving the waste crisis or waste management crisis in Rivers State? That's what we're discussing in this hour. And I mentioned to you earlier on, and I'll be having a guest for this conversation. My guest, Abu Kamil Joseph, environmentalist and a former PRO, Waste Management Society of Nigeria, Rivers State Chapter. My guest will be joining me later on, hopefully, for the conversation. But for now, I'd like to get your take on this. My lines are open. Is a proper waste management solution possible in Rivers State? Is it possible? Call 0817-93-0002, 0817-93-0003, and 0817-93-0007. WhatsApp is on 0809-030-6416. We are live on facebook.com/NigeriaInfoPH. We're live on Twitter as well, at NigeriaInfoPH, on the conversation. Let's get it going before my guest gets here. Is a proper waste management solution possible in Rivers State? Is it possible? Because it seems everything else has defied the problem, or the problem rather has defied everything. You know, everything has been tried so far has defied solution. Doesn't seem to work. Will the latest 5-man task force be the solution we've all been hoping for? I guess time will tell. Let's take Tijani now. Tijani, hello, you're welcome. Please go ahead.
Okay, good afternoon. Good evening.
You're welcome.
Okay, I want to thank you for this question being asked. There is a solution for waste management in Rivers State.
What's that?
And it's working other states. It means it can work in Rivers State. First thing that needs to be done is to ensure the law that has been already passed is being implemented and is being followed. People drop waste indiscriminately on the road is not the solution. Solution is bag your waste and the refuse collector come to your residence to pick your waste. That will reduce a lot of dumping waste in on the road and any other receptacle that is not approved by the government. Or the government engage all these waste collectors and they position their vehicle at a location at a particular time for people to bring out their waste and they collect it. Nothing is being dropped on the floor.
But bagging waste and having it collected at your home, having your waste collected at your home is going to cost money. Okay, Tijana is gone. Alex from Garrison. Alex, you're welcome. Please go ahead.
Dario, I'll say this time without number.
Yes.
Waste, refuse, all those things is money.
Okay.
You understand?
Yes.
It's money. It's another source of income for somebody. I can decide to venture into it if the government decides to keep it open. It's a job opportunity. I can get my truck, walk into the street, people bring out their refuse, I give you price for per waste, and you pay me. It's a business. People are doing it as business in other countries. Why do governments waste our own money paying people for in fact I don't see that as a service. So all what I'm thinking now we should do, let people bag their waste, keep them in their houses, the way we used to do it back then, in Nigeria here, we used to do it growing up. Even up to now, I still pay for my waste. Let people pay for their waste, and that will make people reduce the number of waste they are producing. Do you understand?
Yeah, I
not
guess,
when you have a small plastic, you want to go and throw it inside the dustbin, but when you only recall that this is going to cost you money, you will reduce the waste you produce from your house. So let them make it a business venture for people to venture in and get trucks and go into streets and pick waste. And you keep a sense a dumping site where who will pay to offload the waste. And government will from there maybe get recycled and get them recycled and use, you know. These are just common things, common sense, than wasting millions of naira giving one so-called Riwama, giving one so-called one of your friends. You waste our money and give to them to come and do what? And they are not doing the job. It doesn't make any sense.
Alex, great to hear from you as well. Good to note that my guest has joined me right now in the studio and we can expand the scope of this conversation, I believe. Once again, we're discussing whether or not it's possible. Well, that's a rhetorical question, I suppose. It's possible for us to have a proper waste management system in River State. My guest, once again, Abu Kami Joseph, is an environmentalist, former PRO, Waste Management Society of Nigeria, River State Chapter. Abu Kami Joseph, hello, you're welcome to Hard Facts.
Thank you, Dayo. Thank you for having me on Hard Facts.
Good to have you here. Let's take it from the comments of the last caller. And he said that waste is not a service. I think he meant to say it's not a social service.
Yes.
So let's take it from there. It was going to be my second or third question, but let's just go from there. Is waste management a social service?
Yes, it's a social service because when you look at social service, you're providing service to the public. The majority of the people that produce waste, especially in River State, Nigeria, are the general public. You cannot just start billing people without any law or without any act. It will be interesting to know that the waste management bill that was passed some years ago before this amendment by this new assembly provided for the government to tax people, to tax waste producers that for the waste they produce. There's also the commercial arm in this bill that would have mandated the government to commercialize waste management. But you know, the government cannot do things on its own without the backing of the law. That's why there's a law in place now. And there's also an amendment which has not gone
through. Can I rephrase the question I asked? Mm-hmm. I wasn't asking if waste management as is currently being practiced in River State now. I'm saying ordinarily, in an ideal situation, all over the world, best practice-wise, is waste management a social service?
It is a social service.
Okay. So if it's a social service, then why is it that in other climes, and just to be sure that we are both on the same page as far as social services, that is those services provided by the state, in most cases, or sometimes even by private individuals, basically to attend to the needs of disadvantaged people, less privileged or even poor in society, that they don't have to pay for?
Yes.
Are we on the same page with that?
That they do not have to pay for?
Yes.
No, they have to pay for it. You're producing
but
waste.
But you don't pay for social service, like social welfare, like policing, like those are social
in
services.
In better climes, we are taxed. You pay tax. The tax covers for these services.
Yeah, but you don't pay directly for that service.
If you work, you pay tax. In better climes, the employment rate is higher than the unemployment rate. So the amount of people that pay tax in better climes will be able to cover for these shortfalls. So when you say, just like in better climes, everybody has a social security number, you have, like, let me say health sector now. People are entitled to free health care to an extent. Some people have to pay to the health insurance scheme or something. It's just, that is how waste management is. Because it is the way we look at waste management in Nigeria, Rivers State. That's why we are not responsible.
But those claims you're talking about, everybody pays to have their waste collected. Everybody pays to have waste
they
managed.
They may not pay, the tax may not be taxed as
I'm not talking tax now.
Yeah.
I'm talking about paying directly for that service. If you want the waste management agency or contractors to come to your house to pick up your waste, you have to pay the same way you pay for power, the same way you pay for gas, the same way you pay for water. You pay to have your waste collected.
To the best of my knowledge, what they pay in most councils abroad is a council tax. It is not necessarily defined as a waste management tax.
Okay.
It's a council tax. Because if you remember, you know, I like to talk about law and bills. Before the Waste Management Agency Bill, there was the River State Environmental Sanitation Act, which empowered local governments to manage waste. If local governments were working as it should and collect tax as they should, they ought to be able to manage waste management because it is their purview. It is naturally, in better climes, you collect waste at the council level, just like in our villages. Rumosi or Rumomoi, Rumehwara, just like that, will collect waste at that level, at the village or the council level. So at that level, you pay tax. It's called council tax.
And the council tax covers?
It covers waste management. It covers the sweeping of the road. It covers sweeping of the bus stops. It covers management of signages. It covers a lot of things.
Markets and the rest of it.
Okay. In River States that I know of, most local governments tax markets. And these markets produce a huge volume of waste. If you go to a food garden at the end of the business of every day, just look at the volume of waste produced at food garden. You understand what I'm saying? Or you go to Rumokoro here. Just these markets pay tax. It is from these monies they ought to manage the waste from.
Okay, so just to be clear, it's a social service, but one way or another, the residents pay for it.
The residents pay for it.
Okay. All right, so maybe we can move on from there. But before I ask you my next question, and I suppose it might take a while to give a response to that, we have just a very short period before the next commercial break. So we'll hold up on that question for now. But via WhatsApp, hello, Dan. Waste management is a social responsibility, just like ambulances, hospitals, police and fire service. There are private service providers that you can pay for. There are services the government will provide that you'll pay extra for. There are lots of fines citizens are exposed to, which act as revenue for these services as well. That's from Kelly. So we'll go for that commercial break now. We'll return in a moment. My conversation with my guest will continue. But do please stay with us.
we take off with the biggest conversations with an exchange of opinions and ideas on the Morning Crossfire. Settle you into your day when we say hello, Port Hackett.
Take you on a ride to the sunny side of life.
Hover a bit while picking at the details on hard facts. Take a detour through the exciting world of sports.
And get back on track with Let's Talk.
Land you safely as we chit-chat into the morning on Chat Station. And then do it all over again on your number one talk, news and sports radio station, 92.3 Nigeria Info.
Okay, Max, the Heart Factor Nigeria Info here in Port Hackett. I'm 27 minutes gone past 4 p.m. Discussions continue. I still got Abu Kami Joseph here, environmentalist, former PRO and Waste Management Society of Nigeria, River State Chapter. Abu Kami, you're welcome once again.
Thank you.
And we're discussing a proper waste management solution, the possibility or feasibility of that here in River State. Now, before the break, you were enlightening me on the social service nature of waste management.
Yes.
And you said that you describe what happens in other climes, how the people pay certain taxes, what you refer to as an example, council tax,
yeah.
And that covers even your waste as well. And if by virtue of a person paying that council tax, you have your waste collected, then I was saying to you when we're off air, that means in a manner of speaking, a taxpayer pays for everything then. That means by paying your tax, you're paying to have the police respond to a distress call.
True.
You're paying to have the road fixed. You're paying to have water in your home. You're paying to have all these quote-unquote social services.
Exactly. Because, you know, when you pay tax, you know, in Nigeria, we are not used to the tax system. We don't like to pay tax. But the truth is that in a climb where the tax system works, it's just like when we're discussing offline, the police, you have the right to police response. The government is responsible for equipping schools. The government is responsible for making roads. The government is responsible for building good landfills, waste collection centers. The government is responsible because you have paid your tax. In better climes, the government provides bin. If you don't pay tax, they don't evacuate your bin. And if they don't evacuate your bin, you are fined. You understand? So you have to pay tax. So, in Nigeria, we have this entitlement mentality. Because we don't pay tax. Just like there are a lot of people in a lot of areas, there are receptacles. If you go back to the way Port Harcourt was 10, 15, 20 years ago, when roads were built without medians, there were receptacles. East-West Road was existing before it was built with median. There was no median on East-West Road 10, 20 years ago. Where were people dumping refuse? But if you drive from Rumokoro to Choba, you will see refuse on the median. If you go to any other road, Oginiba, Transamadi, there's refuse on the median. Those roads were not built 20 years ago with median. So why did the general public decide to dump refuse on the median? It is all these things that defaces the garden city. River State was known to be a garden city 10, 15, 20 years ago. We cannot even compete in top 10 cleanest states in Nigeria at the moment.
Let me ask you the question that was going to be my first question. What I planned before you came in the studio. What is, I mean, there's no doubt, even as you've said right now as well, and any observer anyway, in Port Harcourt and River State, knows that we have a waste management crisis on our hands. We've had it for some time right now.
Yeah.
So what is the problem, or what are the problems, it might be more than one, with waste management in River State at the moment?
Okay, let me take it this way. Waste management system, integrated waste management system, are a collective of the producer, the collection, and the disposal. The producer, me and you, the market women, the marketplace, schools, hospitals, collectors, government for now, disposal, government for now. One arm cannot be faulty and another arm will work. If the producers continually dispose refuse at odd hours. The government has said dump refuse from 6 p.m. to midnight. If you dump refuse outside that time, and government has designed a system to collect refuse within that time, there will be a shortfall. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying.
Mm.
There will be a shortfall. Collection. If, for example, we need 70 compactors or 80-100 compactors to collect refuse as it is now in River State, and we are collecting refuse with 30 compactors, there will be a shortfall. If, as it is now, we generate approximately 20 or 30,000 tons of waste every month, and there are no dump sites to collect and hold this volume every month, there will be a shortfall. So you see the chain. It's a value chain. Anywhere there is a lapse, it will affect everywhere.
So where do we have the biggest lapse right now? Or where do we have the lapse?
It is everywhere. Unfortunately, it is everywhere.
Let's take it from the very first one, which are the producers.
The producers.
Okay. Now, you said that the problem, you also said something about the producers when we were off air. You talked about people being lazy, an entitlement mentality. They don't want to pay for it. They don't want to walk to where the receptacles are. But maybe let's be fair on the producers for just a moment. Recently, on our news today, I think I said on the news earlier today that some receptacles, new receptacles, have surfaced somewhere on NTA Road, I think. It was on our news earlier today. Let me just
call it.
There are new receptacles in some parts of Port Harcourt. Our correspondents observed about three new receptacles along the NTA Rumokuta Road. My reporter spoke to some residents on that. These are new. They were not there recently. Look at the East-West Road here, for example, as well. Between Choba and Rumokoro, I don't know if you can identify where there's a receptacle. I don't think I've seen one.
The entire median is a receptacle.
No, has become. But talking about those, you were referring to government's campaign of bag your waste, drop it at
particular time
at government-approved receptacles.
Exactly.
For quite some time, I'm not disputing we had a time when those receptacles were very much around, possibly very visible as well. But for a considerable amount of time right now, I just gave an example of between Choba and Rumokoro. If you can help me identify where we have these receptacles. Along the NTA road here, right, if you come from the other Choba end all the way to Rumokuta, if you could help me identify where these receptacles are. So if the receptacles cannot be identified along this true very long stretches of road, I just call that right now. What are the producers of the waste supposed to do with them?
Okay, let me respond before I lose my line of thought. The receptacles on NTA Road may not be government approved receptacles. The government, because the government is collecting waste now, the government has the right to approve receptacles. Let me give you an example. Fortunately, I was with the Waste Management Agency when the government was building Ada George Road. There were receptacles at some locations, Orepo, Ajib by Ada George. There were some receptacles at some locations. And because the road was being constructed, we had to meet with the community to give us a new receptacle on Ada George Road. And when the community gave us receptacles, we had to now publicize and make residents know that these are new receptacles because the road is going to be dualized expansion and the rest. But we now realize that after 4 months, people started dumping on the median. So there were receptacles on that road. Let me give you another example, Ikwiri Road. There's a receptacle at Education, a receptacle at Ebeljomu, a receptacle at my tree. There's a receptacle at School of Health, receptacle at... In fact, there are receptacles. There is government-designated receptacles along Ikwiri Road. But I bet you go out in the morning tomorrow, 7 a.m., you will see refuse on the median. So the problem is from the people. The government has designated receptacles where people ought to go and dump refuse. But people, in their entitlement way, lazy way, they will dump it on the median. Ogunigba had receptacles. There was a receptacle before. There were government-approved receptacles along Ogunigba. If you go there tomorrow morning, you will see refuse on the median.
And when you say receptacles, can you describe what these receptacles are, really, just to be clear?
Receptacles are just temporary holding stations for waste. Temporary holding stations. They are not dump sites. They are where people come to dump their waste between 6 p.m. and 12 midnight.
What do they look like?
There's a popular receptacle at, there's one at Market Junction, Ikure Road. You see how it's built. This government built that receptacle. There's another one at, it's a brick. They used block to just demarcate it, to cordon, as in to reduce the bad look. There's one at Market Junction. There's one at Rumokuta before the MTN office along the Kure Road. There's one at School of Health. They are built to hold refuse for a time. Naturally, or as ideally, refuse collectors will collect this waste before break of dawn, before 6 a.m., 7 a.m. But when you now go and litter the entire median, it's just like you ought to collect refuse at this receptacle at a particular time. Then imagine the time it would take for contractors to now be collecting refuse along the median. If they were stationed at that point, the turnaround time would be faster than if they were collecting on the median.
Okay, so you've described some of these receptacles. Yeah. So help me here. Was the idea that people, because some people know that live closer to the receptacles than others. So yeah. A person who lives maybe a few meters from there can easily, 6 p.m. in the evening after returning from work, or even ask the kids to go and drop the refuse, or even drop it themselves. Mm. But somebody else is living 5, 10, 15 minutes away, minutes, I might even say meter, minutes away from the receptacle. Are they supposed to also leave their homes and then make a 5-minute, 10-minute journey, 15-minute journey to the receptacle to go drop their refuse and then head back home?
A quick one. Is there a market at everybody's front, at everybody's gate? So if you want to cook now and you want to go to the market, you just step out of your gate. Do you see a market there? Most people will still walk 5-10 minutes to the market. If you want to get drugs, you want to go to the clinic, you want to go to the primary health center in your community, do you walk out of your house and see a primary health center? You want to take your children to school, even if a public school, a model school, a government school, do you just walk out of your house and see the school in front of your house? You have to walk 5-10 minutes to
usually,
the school.
Usually people don't need to go to the market every day. People don't need to
dump waste every day.
So are you saying that it is best practice to have receptacles that people have to make significantly long trips to go drop their refuse? Is that the best practice?
In delineating receptacles, because I've been fortunate enough, I've been opportune to be in a team to delineate receptacles within the metropolis. In delineating receptacles, we made sure that there's a receptacle at least 10 minutes walk from where you are. The receptacle at, Ibel Jumbo can serve the people at Mile 2. There's nowhere in Mile 2 that you cannot walk to Ibel Jumbo. At Education, Mile 1, Osoka, Newe, all those areas, there's no how you cannot walk from Mile 1 to Education. So people walk from those inner places and come to Mile 1 market to shop, but they don't want to walk to the receptacle to dump their refuse.
All right, now, so I asked you about best practice just a while ago. Let me expand on that question. Mm. So maybe at one time, it was best practice, and it was a brilliant idea to delineate, to broad expression, these receptacles and ensure that it's within, quote-unquote, walking distance. To drop them off. But also, we have in some other areas of the world where people don't have to walk 10 minutes or more or less to go drop their refuse. Mm. You have bins in front of your homes.
Very good.
You have compactors or trucks or vans to come by every day or every other day, and they pick them up and they get rid of them. Isn't that better than people having to walk 10 minutes or more to go drop their refuse at these receptacles?
That would be ideal, but the urban nature of our metropolis as it is now, there are a lot of roads that these compactors cannot enter. That is the truth. We are a developing nation. We are not a developed nation. So our urban planning is still growing. We are just getting to the point where there are a lot of estates, organized estates, designed estates. there are a lot of communities now that are unplanned, that the routes, even two small cars will have to, you know, wait, make I pass, wait, let me pass before. So these are the challenges.
But some of the places we would describe right now are not like that. The east-west road, a lot of place road communities along the east-west road have motorable roads. The NTA Ada George we're talking about is not like that.
Okay.
And Ajib, and I can go on, Transamad, the orderly road, they're not like that.
That is where the people are faulty. Because they ought to go. Okay, let me give you an example. Some years ago, let me say in 2014, 2013, there was a partnership with World Bank to provide bins in some locations. The pilot started at Ujiare, Elekaya Housing Estate, some locations. They have bins, and the contractors just had to go along the routes and pick up their bins. And because these places are planned, it was easy to collect waste because your bin may not be filled up every day. The government may just need to collect it twice in a week, three times in a week. Even in GRA, the new GRA, there are a lot of residents that have bins. But, you know, it's still the entitlement mentality. If tomorrow now the government say everybody should buy bin, you will now say that the government wants to tax you. You will now say the government wants to transfer responsibility to the producers.
Okay, let's move on to the next part. We talk about the producers of the waste. You said there are three stages or three...
Collection.
Let's go to collection now.
Okay. The major challenge with collection is with the trucks, the compactors. You know, we had evolved from the use of open truck, you know, tipper and the rest to collect refuse because they will litter the environment. And we now start using compactors. You must understand how expensive compactors are, the maintenance and everything. When this administration, let me say 7 years ago, came into power, the dollar was, I don't know, I can't remember, 100 and something, max 250. And you can imagine, as of today, the dollar is almost 601 naira, 602, 605 naira. So someone that wants to invest in waste management and compared to then, I want to buy a compactor now, you can imagine how much you will be buying a compactor now. So you now understand that the investment in that sector has declined because of the economy. Cost of diesel, cost of parts, even our small generators that we used to buy oil, 1,000, the least oil now is about 1,900. So this... The harsh economic nature has also affected the collection because naturally people would have invested and ventured into trucks and the rest, but that has already impacted collection. That's why we now see that there are not enough trucks to carry waste.
You said people invested in trucks.
Yes, the trucks are not owned by the government. They are owned by individuals, companies.
Then government pays them.
Government pays them.
From ideally, the taxes it's supposed to have collected from the people.
Exactly. So it is individuals, it's companies, contractors that carry these wastes employed by the government.
But years ago, I grew up in Lagos, and as a child, as far back, I mean, several years ago, as a little child, really, I remember seeing the trucks come by every other morning to pick up the waste. So they drive by. This come not tipper or trailer.
Yeah.
The compactor
trucks.
Compacted trucks. Mm. As a little child, I remember seeing them come by every other morning to pick up the waste in Lagos, and that was a long time ago.
Okay. Even in Lagos, the waste management is handled by independent contractors. It's handled by companies. I know that for a fact. And
The point I was trying to make from that pound of me, the point I was trying to make is we paid them. We got a bill. We got a bill every month and we paid.
Okay. In this part of the world, it has been established that government is not a good businessman. It has been established. If you look at a lot of ventures, both our refineries, look at any government railway, government is not a good businessman. Government is good to give policy, give direction, hand it over to businesses to run. And even when it was the military regime, Captain Sam Ewang, of River State, the government was evacuating waste. The government had these slow bins and slow trucks. Even Umpadek bought slow trucks then to aid the government to carry waste. But with the urbanization, the influx of people into our metropolis, the expansion, you know, before, even Rumosi here was like travel, was people's villages. People will be in Port Harcourt and say, I'm going to the village. It's Rumosi here that they are traveling to the village. But now, the metropolis has expanded even beyond Emohua. Emohua now is almost city. It's in the metropolis. Ishopo is in the metropolis. So now, it is beyond what the government can handle. It is actually beyond what the government can handle.
So let's go to the third stage.
Okay, that is the disposal. That is, unfortunately, the most integral part of the waste management. That is the dump site, especially the dump site, because it will be futile for people to produce waste, people to collect waste, and they cannot dump the waste. Presently now, there is no engineered landfill in River State, unfortunately. The government, because of the cost of building landfills, individuals may not be able to get return on investment at a short time for building a landfill. You may get return on investment in maybe 15, 20 years if you build a landfill and let the government pay you. It's a good investment because if you have a borrow pit somewhere that you're not using, you can offer it to the government and say, okay, pay me so money every month for the next 20 years. It's also a good way to reclaim land. In advanced world, they use waste to reclaim land. There's somewhere in Rumokoro before the church. A lot of people don't know it was a landfill before. That land has been reclaimed now. There's somewhere in Abloma, it was a landfill before. So there are places, it was a borrow pit before. They used waste to reclaim it. Presently now, we do not have good landfills. Unfortunately, we are in the rainy season where we have it the toughest with managing dump sites in River State. Because to get a good dump site or landfill, you have to floor. You have to do an engineered ground. You have to walk on the floor. Because by the time trucks drive on that terrain like 3, 4, 5 times, it will get bad. Now, there's most of the dump sites, a bulldozer has to push in the compactor. When the compactor tips, push the compactor out. You can imagine how much time is lost. You can imagine the loss of turnaround time for this activity. The time it would take maybe 10 compactors to tip and dispose of their refuse and go back to the streets to collect more refuse is the time it would take just one compactor to evacuate its refuse. So these are the things that are hampering the collection system generally.
So what solution do we need? What solutions will turn around the situation in River State?
I think, one, they need to focus on landfill development or dump sites, especially now that it's the rainy season. It's very important. Collection, they need to increase the number of compactors in service. They need to encourage companies to invest. They need to pay companies well. You cannot be paying companies a particular amount 3, 4, 5 years ago. The cost of diesel, the cost of diesel 6 months ago is different from the cost of diesel now. The cost of engine oil, tipping oil, 5, 6 months ago is different from the cost of tipping oil and engine oil now. So you have to put all these things into consideration when you want to employ and you want to employ contractors to carry this waste.
But then again, government's revenue is not increasing at that level as well. So where's government going to get the extra money to pay the contractors from?
It is government's responsibility to create avenues and channels to increase their revenue base. It is not the public's responsibility. You can, if you create employment, there will be more people to tax. If you're employing just half of the employable population, you can only tax half of the employable population. If you employ 90% of the employable population, you can tax 90% of the employable population. If the government creates policies, improve the economy to improve employment, there will be more people to tax. It is not rocket science.
All right, so for the moment, people have to drop their waste at the receptacles.
At the designated
receptacles. So since you know a lot about where these receptacles are located. Can you help me, for example? Because I guess that those who live in Rumo C and Rumekini are primarily the ones responsible for dropping the waste on the median of the East-West Road, especially in our area here, and by Rumo C Junction especially. Where is their receptacle?
Okay, to the best of my knowledge, Rumekini's receptacle is in front of the public school. Is in front of a public school. But you know, because development has advanced further inside of Rumekini, people now dump waste indiscriminately all around that area. But to the point at which Rumekini was developed 5 years ago, the approved receptacle was in front of the school. There are a lot of other, even Rumosi here, Chuba, Alo had a receptacle in front by Y Junction. After the school gates, they had a receptacle opposite Choba campus. Opposite Choba campus, there's a school there, there's a receptacle there. So, in fact, there are receptacles in a lot of areas, but the producers don't want to patronize the receptacles. That's the truth about it.
All right, so use receptacles, government gets more compactors,
yes,
and then
invest in dump sites, land sealed. Yes, that's very important.
And once they do this, the problem will be over.
The problem cannot just be over automatically. We have to it will gradually phase out. The good thing the government has done now is to, you know, they're inaugurating a task force today, and luckily the chairman of that task force is a former sanitation chairman. He has worked as in, he has experience in waste management. So I believe he will bring his experience to bear with regards especially the present issue we have now, because the waste in Port Harcourt now it's a disaster. It's a disaster. So we have to tackle that present challenge at the moment first before we now start evolving to a proper system.
And then there is that very important part of the producers also, not dropping the waste indiscriminately.
Indiscriminately. The government has designated waste to be dumped between 6 p.m. and 12 midnight.
I have to ask you this. I've been curious about that. Why do people have to drop the waste at those particular times? But we have to go for a quick commercial break right now. We'll return afterwards and we'll wrap up the conversation. I am curious about why does it have to be between 6 p.m. and is it a secret thing that has to be as it gets darker? We'll be right back shortly. Do be stay with us. Hard Facts continues in a bit.
We take off with the biggest conversations with an exchange of opinions and ideas on the Morning Crossfire. Settle you into your day when we say hello, Port Harcourt.
Take you on a ride to the sunny side of life.
Hover a bit while picking at the details on Hard Facts. Take a detour through the exciting world of sports.
And get back on track with Let's Talk.
Land you safely as we chit-chat into the morning on Chat Station. And then do it all over again on your number one talk, news and sports radio station, 92.3 Nigeria Info.
Welcome back. 2 minutes ago before 5 p.m. We've got discussions right now. So, Abu Kami, question I asked before the break very quickly. Why does the refuse have to be dropped between 6 p.m. and midnight?
Okay. It has been, we did an investigation and realized that that would be the best time for the trucks to be able to carry them, because of turnaround time. Because ideally, the trucks, compactor trucks, ought to be at the receptacle receiving waste from 6 p.m. So that when producers bring their waste, they collect, so that by 10, 11, when the roads are less busy, they can start moving. I know ideally, these trucks don't need to move during a peak of traffic because of safety reasons. So if they can move from, let me say, 10, 11, they can have enough time to do the back and forth without so much traffic.
Are you sure the producers of the waste were not dropping it on the medians because somebody was attending to the receptacles? Are you sure that was not a reason as well?
They have no, just like There's no excuse. Okay. There's no excuse.
Well, we have to wrap it up on that note. Thanks for joining in. Especially thanks to my guest, Abukami Joseph, is an environmentalist and former PRO, Waste Management Society of Nigeria, River State Chapter. Abukami, many thanks for your time.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.